this is in chapter 32, and we're going to do in verse, in subsection 31, that what I'm reading from in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Rav Shulchan Aruch, the laws of Tefillin. We talked a lot about before how important every letter, how they should be separate, not cracked, and everything has to be exactly meticulously. Now, there's a general rule that the part, the writing has to be done for the special purpose of the tefillin. When you're writing tefillin, you can't just write a parchment and then use it in the tefillin. The writing, the scribe, when he writes the tefillin, he has to have in mind, I'm writing this for the mitzvah of the tefillin. That means lishma. Lishma means for the sake of the mitzvah that I'm doing over here. And there is a debate whether one needs to articulate and say specifically, express it with his mouth, I am writing this for the tefillin, or it's enough to have it in mind, to say in his mind, oh, I'm doing it for the tefillin. That's one thing. That's for tefillin generally. When you write God's name in the tefillin, when you write the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei in the tefillin, you have to specifically also have in mind, I'm writing this for the sanctity of God's name. So you can't just write the name of God, but you have to write it in the sanctity of God's name. Now here too, whether one is obligated to express it verbally, or he can just think about it. So the opinion is to, the best way is to actually express it. So we'll learn inside. So it says like this, in subsection 31, HaKasiva Tzricha Liyesh Lishma, the writing needs to be for the sake of the mitzvah of tefillin, when the scribe writes it. SheYichtev HaParshis L'Shem Kedushas Tefillin BeFerish, he has to explicitly write it for the sanctity of the tefillin. No, don't write just a portion, it has to be written for the sanctity of the tefillin. V'im Kosvam Stam, if you did not write it for the sanctity of tefillin, and we're talking about you didn't have it in mind at all, you just wrote the portion of the Torah, what you're going to write, then it's pesulos, those tefillin are disqualified, they're no good. Now, v'haskoris, God's names that are mentioned in the tefillin, tzarich l'shkosvam l'shem kudushosim b'feirish, you must write the name of God specifically for the sanctity of God's name, b'feirish, specifically. In addition to the sanctity of the tefillin, when you mention God's name, you have to say specifically for the name of Hashem. V'im kosvam stam, if you just wrote it without having in mind for Hashem's name, for the kind, yigonzu, then you must hide them because you can't use those tefillin. They're not kosher. Now, he says there is a question here. The Yeshli's topic, we have a doubt. B'chol mokim shetzorich lishma, wherever we require for the sake of the mitzvah, im dai b'machshava, is it sufficient just to think about it? Sheyachshe b'libe sheyiser dover zeh, that you're thinking in your heart that you're doing what you're thinking, l'shem ma shetzorich la'soyser, for the purpose what you need to do it. Generally, this is a general question. In many areas we find that we got to do something for a specific person. Is it sufficient just in your heart, in your mind, you're thinking, I'm doing it for that mitzvah? Keep going. As for example, you're thinking in your heart, HaParshis L'Shem Kedushosom, that the Parshis are done for the purpose of their sanctity, for the tefillin. V'Askoris, and the name of Hashem, L'Shem Kedushosom, they're done for the sanctity of the name of God. So, just thinking about it and having it in your mind and heart is sufficient. Or perhaps there is a requirement that one must express it with his lips, and it's not sufficient just by thinking alone. So that's a standing question in all places where we need lishma. Whenever you have a doubt of the Torah, we must go stringent. So if you're not sure if it's enough thinking or you have to speaking is good according to everybody, then we tell you take the more stringent stand. Do not just think about it. Now what happens? So how does this work is like this. Before you start writing, you have to verbalize. You have to actually say the following words. Ani kosev parshius elu l'shem kedushas tefillin, which means I am writing these portions for the purpose of the sanctity of the tefillin. Besides that, umilvadzeh, so besides that, b'chol pam shekosev askora, every time that you write a name of God in the tefillin, tzorich sheyoymar, you have to say, you have to verbalize, shekosev l'shem kedushas Hashem, that you're writing it for the purpose of Hashem's sanctity. V'im loy amar kein b'feirush, b'ksibus ha'askoris. What happens if you did not verbalize when you wrote the name of Hashem? So you just said in the beginning, I'm writing this portion for the mitzvah of tefillin, but when it came to the name of Hashem, you did not verbalize and you did not say it specifically that I am writing this name for the sanctity of Hashem. Elochoshev came b'liboy, but you think in his heart, kasheris b'di'evit, after the fact it's kosher. You know, in halacha, we have many times, we tell you to do it the right way. But if you did it in a different way, after the fact, we'll accept that. You know, there is like a right way to do it, and then there's after the fact, sometimes we'll accept it and sometimes not. So, which means in this case, that when you are told in the beginning, you have to say God's name before you say Hashem's name. You have to say, I'm writing it for the purpose, l'shem Hashem, for the kedushas of Hashem. But if you didn't say it, but you just thought in your heart, it's kosher. Why? Because in the beginning, since in the beginning of the writing, you said, I'm writing it for the purpose of tefillin. So that already includes the name of Hashem, which is the askara. But if you did not say anything in the beginning of the writing, you just started, you just had in your mind, yesh lahachmi b'shel Torah, then we have to be strict by the Torah. Since the Torah matter, to disqualify me even after the fact, even though that he thought in his heart. So if the scribe wrote the whole tefillin, right? But he forgot to say in the beginning, specifically, I'm writing it for the sanctity of the tefillin, those tefillin are no good. Now, nobody knows what he did, right? Maybe he didn't say it. How are we going to know? It doesn't say in the parchment. That's why the scribe has to be a God-fearing Jew. He has to do something, even though that no physical eye sees you, but you have to know that Hashem is watching you. You know, today we have all these drones and everything else flying around you. They're keeping on watching. They're keeping an eye on you, you know, all the time. So now we can understand a little bit more of how God can look after you, yeah? And he has like x-ray vision. He can see even in the rooms, even in hiding. He cannot... The prophet says, can you hide from Hashem? So Hashem sees us all the time. Now, there's one more thing over here. We learned also that when you first work the parchment, when you prepare the writings of the tefillin are written on parchment, that comes, that's hide from a skin of a kosher animal. That's where the parchment comes from. And we learned the different parts of the parchment, which is used for the writing of the tefillin. Now that hide, when you are working out that hide, it also has to be done for the purpose of the mitzvah of tefillin. When the tanner is taking care of doing it, it has to be done for the mitzvah of tefillin. Now the question is, over there too, we would have both of these opinions. One opinion would say that you have to verbalize it. One says that it is thought is enough. So even though we're ruling here that if he wrote the tefillin just in mind without saying it, those tefillin are no good. But the Alter Rebbe says, "Avol b'ibud ohiris." But as far as the working through these leather, making the leather into parchment, okay, in that process, yesh lakel b'di'evit, we can be lenient after the fact. If you only thought, im chasha b'libe b'tchilo se'ibut, if you thought in your house, in your heart, when they started to work it through, shema abdun l'shem sefer Torah tefillin, that they are working that parchment for a sefer Torah tefillin, Over there, even if you didn't verbalize it, would be enough. Why is it more lenient over there? As far as the writing, we're more strict. We're saying even after the fact, you can't use it to fill in. Can't use those parchments. Those are no good. But as far as the working of the tefillin, when the tanner works it through, over there we say that it's okay. Why is it okay? Because not everybody, because there's some that say, some say that this whole requirement of having the parchment prepared for the sake of the parchment is only to do the mitzvah in the best way. It's not actually a requirement. After the fact, a parchment that has not been made through directly thinking that it should be done for the tefillin, it's also good. But we don't go by that. To us, we don't follow. It's not correct. So if you cannot use just a plain parchment without having it worked out specifically for the tefillin, but but yet we can rely on that to be lenient after the fact, when he thought in his house, because we have two. First, we're saying maybe you don't need it lishma, and even if you need lishma, maybe just thinking about it is sufficient. Since we also have a doubt, because there is a question, maybe you don't even need to verbalize it. Maybe thought is good. So that's why, after the fact, it's okay. So here you're seeing how many necessary steps there is in order to keep the tefillin kosher. So we're not even talking about the box yet. We're just talking about the parchment. And before, we talked about all the very, very specifics of the letters in the previous. And if they touch it, if they crack it. Now we're learning also that it has to be done for the purpose of the tefillin, and it has to be done, verbalize it, you have to mention the God's name, and we're going to learn more and more things. What I'm going to say in the next sif, we'll leave it for next time, but we're going to see that you can't write when you're like snoozy, if you're tired, you can't write it. Why? Because you can't have in mind. Your mind is not clear. You have to have in mind. So, in order to do a right pira tefillin, a right parchment, same thing is for the others also, you have to be alert, you have to be awake. You know, it's like driving a chas v'sholom, a car.
Yeah.
Well, you're not, stay awake for safety's sake. So you got to stay awake for the writing of the tefillin as well. So, these are all requirements, but this, once you learn it, you understand the great responsibility, and you understand that it's not just a technical piece of parchment and words on it, but it's a whole process, a detailed process, and a very specific process. And you also understand why a very little mistake can disqualify the tefillin, and you can also understand that you can't physically see that there's anything wrong with the tefillin. It looks the same. It looks good. But yet, and you know, God forbid, you know, sometimes there's a certain illness that a person is ill. If you look at the person, you don't see anything. Sometimes the person is, kvetching, you can see on his face, you can see that he's suffering from an illness. So you're okay, he can't move, he can't do. Sometimes, God forbid, you know, the person has an illness, which is an internal illness. And when you look at them outside, you don't see anything. It looks like he's perfect, 100%. Say, this person is not sick, doesn't look sick. But it could be very sick on the inside. The tefillin is the same thing. The tefillin has a soul. And the right way is, it's not just the outer look, what it looks. It's how it's made, what's going on inside. So if it's not done properly, then it's the same thing is in all of us. And the other way around is also true. Sometimes when you look at the outside, like they say, don't judge a book by its cover. Sometimes you look at the outside, this guy looks at you, he looks like a bum or something like that, You say, don't judge the person yet, because you don't know what a precious soul he has, and the inside he may be perfect. So it works the other way around. You know, sometimes there was once a rabbi who said, he only wants students whose outside matches their inside. Which means that if they pretend that they are righteous, they must be righteous in the inside. Guess what? He didn't have any students coming because nobody could. Then he said, no, everybody can go in. The other rabbi said, so he filled up his academy with students.
because it's hard to match up. Sometimes you start with the outside and then you work on the inside. Sometimes it works on the inside out. But either way, but we have to remember that our ear sight is a treasure, is beautiful, and it's perfect. But it's only sometimes that our external ear, we're not so perfect. So we've got to work on that, polish us up, and make us shiny and beautiful again.